Circular craft rose again, rolling back onto the road and proceeding toward the outer wall of the ville in undiminished speed. Snatching the coal oil lantern hanging from a nail in the wall, the sentry blew out the flame and ducked low. From the floor, he reached up and snatched the plastic toolbox on the shelf, hugging it to his chest in an irrational moment of panic. Then, grim necessity seized him. Fingernails scratching the wax from the joints, the sentry pried loose the lid on the plastic box and ripped it off. Nestled inside was a Very pistol and three flares. Stuffing the first fat cartridge into the hollow tube, he shielded his face with an arm, pointed the box into the sky, and fired. The pistol thumped loudly, and the flare was blown high into the starry sky. One flare meant strangers, possibly danger. It detonated into a brilliant white glare, slowly parachuting downward, riding the wind like a kite. While it was airborne, he had the second flare loaded and launched. Two meant an armed attack, send troops pronto. The dark shape rumbled past the kiosk, shaking the walls and making the thatched roof collapse in sections, sending stalks of tar-coated hay everywhere. The sentry stayed in the corner, praying for his life, and the thing moved onward. The moment it was past, he shoved a hand out the window and sent off the third flare. It was a signal he had never used before, and he had spent his whole adult life hoping not to. It was the signal for disaster, invasion, and much, much worse. Then, a blinding flash of light slashed across the kiosk, slicing apart the masonry. A terrible pain seared in his stomach, and he tried for a scream when the grenade in his pocket detonated, blowing his steaming guts across the rubble in a grisly crimson spray. As the troop of armed SecMen marched around a corner, JB darted from behind a pile of rotting garbage and across the dark street, taking a defensive position. He whistled low twice, and the rest of the companions followed him, with Christy on rear guard.
These guys aren't too sharp. I've seen better guards in hotel lobbies.
A dull clanging noise rose from atop the citadel. Then softly, a siren started to howl, growing in pitch and volume until its strident screams split the night apart. Lights started coming on in every window of every home, doors burst open, and half-dressed men stumbled into the streets, weapons in hands. The companions retreated farther into the safety of darkness. Christy held her pistol steady in a combat grip.
They finally know we're here.
Took them long enough to notice.
JB held one of the homemade sugar bombs ready, its long fuse dangling like the swing hoist of a petard. Cradled in Doc's arms, Shard shook his head.
Not for us?
The patient winced as Mildred reached over to tighten a bloody bandage.
Invaders! Bill's under attack!
With both of his long blasters extended like the horns of a bull, Ryan smiled.
Better coverage for us.
Christy's hair moved to its own secret rhythm.
Chaos is the friend of thieves.
The expression on Mildred's face was lost in the shadows.
No. Remember, the beast is dead, the sun's destroyed. Who else is there who would dare attack this fort?
Don't know.
Mayhap some new enemy.
Doc slightly shifted the position of the man he carried.
Raiders, mercies. The list of Palliards who hate and or lust after this locale must be nigh infinite.
Bastard hopes so.
Ryan doubtfully eyed the mounting chaos in the streets. A trio of SecMen struggled to roll a black powder cannon into position before the very door they had left only moments ago. Ryan checked the status of his weapons.
Forget Silent. We're going hard. Kill on sight. I'm on point. JB, cover our rear with the bombs. Mildred and Dean, cover Doc and Shard. Something big is happening. Something more important than us escaping or a slave rebellion. And I want no part of it.
The Ranger rolled unstoppable along the road that led to the primitive city. Landmines constantly exploded under its rebuilt treads, causing more smoke and noise than damage. Twice a barrage of glass bottles filled with coal oil smashed onto its hull, covering the patched-together tank with flames. This was unfortunate, as it greatly increased the vehicle's visibility, but it did little else. The drones had done their job properly, and while not up to its original standards, the General Electric Ranger Mark IV was functional. The Ranger had patrolled the ruins of the city and the desert sands of Ohio, wandering aimlessly, unable to locate any hint of the unknown invaders who had destroyed it. Then a radio signal began to weakly broadcast from the area ahead. The Ranger's main computer recognized this was a non-military fortress full of civilians. However, if they were assisting the enemy, they were to be considered traitors and dealt with accordingly. Bypassing another disguised pit, on the forward vid scanners, the Ranger detected a crude wall of tree trunks embedded into the dirt atop a low hill, the outer perimeter of the civilian fortress. Activity bustled along the oak palisade, high probability security personnel preparing weapons. Radar indicated a low percentage of steel, scant iron, absolutely no depleted uranium, and no high energy sources that might power lasers or microwave beamers. Low-tech weapons only, certainly no danger to the adamantine hull of the Mark IV. Then, a slash of brown erupted from amid the bushes to one side of the road, and the Ranger rocked under a brutal impact, but penetration of the hull wasn't achieved. Another copse of bushes trembled, and this time the camera saw a telephone pole barreling toward the tank. The end was sharpened to a point, and the rear feathered like an arrow. Military records instantly identified such as an arbalest, a medieval anti-siege weapon. Cumbersome and slow, requiring a 10-man crew to operate and load it, it was only useful against stationary or unusually large targets. All this analysis was done in an electronic microsecond, while the laser turret traversed quickly, but not fast enough, and the pole slammed into the Ranger. The tank shuddered as splinters exploded from the collision. Again, penetration wasn't achieved, couldn't be achieved with this primitive device, but diagnostics showed the rear radar and a vid camera were annihilated. Unacceptable. The transformers boosting to full power, the laser cannon traversed in a full circle, pumping out gigawatts of condensed light. The surrounding countryside was set on fire before the computer was satisfied that this potential danger was neutralized and proceeded onward. Snug inside an underground bunker cut into the side of the hill, a sec man pressed his face tight against the plastic periscope and tracked the approach of the beast. The distance was considerable, maybe 400 yards, too far at present, but with its current speed, in less than a minute, the beast was going to be utterly destroyed. Wards, heirs, and guards for generations had prepared the defensives of Novaville, waiting for the day when the beast would finally turn its terrible attention to them. Well, this was it, and they were ready. The corporal mentally calculated trajectory and speed.
Get set.
Not in range yet.
We fire where it will be, not where it is. Distance plus velocity, remember?
The private nodded.
You got the safety removed?
The young guard displayed the iron bar.
She's ready to go.
He turned back to the periscope.
Grab the rope and wait for my signal.
Yes, sir.
Pull early, and I'll have your balls for breakfast.
In the tiny mirror of the scope, the beast was still on the access road, just passing the first marker. The road to the ville was lined on both sides with stones, certain ones dabbed with different colors of paint and carefully paced off to exact distances so they could serve as target markers. Red for entering the kill zone, yellow for prepare, and green for go. Maintaining a regular speed, the cannon of the angular machine was rotating steadily, ready to laser blast anything dangerous. The corporal smirked at the thought. A fat lot of good a laser would do against his weapon. The other defenders might as well go home. This was a done deal.
Just a little bit more.
The private gripped the rope tighter and braced his boots on the broken bricks set in the dirt flooring.
Ready? Now, private.
As hard as possible, the sec man yanked on the rope. It resisted for a split second, then yards of it dropped inside the bunker. On the hillside, the rope snaked away, dragging along a stout stick from a large hasp that was connected to a gate in front of a disguised tunnel. The unlocked gate swung open, and a boulder rolled into view, closely followed by dozens more. The avalanche cascaded down the hill, gathering speed and momentum. There were no trees or bushes in the way, every obstacle painstakingly removed decades ago. It had taken hundreds of slaves, months of grueling labor to gather the collection of boulders into the pen, the very ground lubricated with their blood as tired bodies got crushed underneath. Tested on several occasions against the Sons of the Knife, the boulders tracked straight and true, and they converged on the tank, shaking the ground in their thunderous approach. The first rock smashed into the Ranger, almost tipping the machine onto its side, denting the composite armor, and destroying a sensor array. But instead of retreating as expected, the tank boldly charged, dodging around the largest rocks, and the second volley missed it completely. As the last of the boulders rolled across the road and into